Welcome to a very special edition of the Issue Is podcast. Sounds a little different because we're on the road this week in Chicago for the Democratic National Convention. This show basically talked to every official in California, lots of our favorite commentators. This is like everybody you've ever seen on the Issue Is in one episode. So we hope you enjoy it. Here it is.
As the balloons fall on the Democratic National Convention, the party is unified and excited about its candidate, which was not the case about a month ago. I'm Alex Michelson. Welcome to a very special edition of The Issue Is from Chicago.
I accept your nomination to be President of the United States of America.
The Vice President, who cut her teeth in progressive California politics, focusing on appealing to moderate swing state voters.
I promise to be a president for all Americans. You can always trust me to put country above party and self.
Since Harris is from California, California's delegation is front and center, with all the top leaders from the state and the party's faithful feeling energized.
Look at the energy, it's electric!
That was beyond my wildest expectations.
Why Harris?
She will fight for regular people, not billionaires.
What a moment to be alive and witness herstory.
Dolores Huerta has made California herstory throughout her life. She worked with Cesar Chavez to advance farm workers' rights, creating the slogan, Si se puede, yes we can, at a time when women in politics were often dismissed.
When you think about all you've been through and all the fights you've been over your life, the idea that they're a female president, the idea of a woman of color as president, what does that mean to you?
This is a dream realized. You might say that we know that women can take leadership, that we can make things happen, and that women have always been underestimated. And this is a moment that so many of us have been dreaming for all of our lives, and that we see it. The realization of the dream.
California.
From late night parties.
What kind of power?
California.
To early morning breakfast, state officials sharing their long relationships with Harris.
Hello, California Democrats.
For decades, Nancy Pelosi has been the most powerful California woman in Washington. I ask her about the significance of the next president potentially being a woman from California.
It's thoughtful and really almost spiritual as well as political.
For me, it's like another bookend.
Oakland Congresswoman Barbara Lee started her political career working for Shirley Chisholm, the first black woman to ever seek the Democratic presidential nomination. What do you think that Shirley Chisholm would think of this moment?
She would think that all of her work was not in vain.
Lee has mentored Harris for over 30 years.
I have bragging rights. She's my friend. She was born in Oakland, raised in Berkeley, in my congressional district, so, you know, she's kind of my constituent also.
I have come to one of the hardest decisions.
Lee says Harris called her as her 2019 presidential campaign was ending.
She called me, and she said she was the first person I called to explain why, and it was money. And, I understand what money in politics sure. will and will not do. But I told her, I said, okay, but you'll be president one day anyway.
Harris also inviting Long Beach Congressman Robert Garcia to speak, who co-chaired her 2019-2020 presidential campaign.
We were working to get her elected back then, but Joe Biden was the right man at the right time in 2020. But now this is her moment, and we're all in. We're going to get her elected, and she's going to be a unifying person for the country.
Lieutenant Governor Eleni Kunalakis has also supported Harris for decades. Harris invited her to speak at this year's convention.
What was it like for you to be on that stage the other night?
It was so fantastic. I mean, it was the honor of a lifetime. I'm her friend. I'm also the Lieutenant Governor of California running for governor. But I'll tell you, this is the first elected office I have. She endorsed me a year before the primary, made ads for me. I would not be Lieutenant Governor if it had not been for her advocating for me for this job.
She's groomed me and many women.
California Comptroller Malia Cohen says she's part of a group of young politicians mentored by Harris for decades.
She has poured wisdom, time, energy, even, you know, they call her Auntie Kamala because she's giving you that harsh, sometimes poignant advice. Don't do this, say this, pivot like this, wear your hair like this. I mean, just little slight things that are nuanced that her personality can deliver.
California's chief service officer, Josh Friday, is another Harris mentee.
She cares about people, and that's what comes through when you know her. She cares about people. She helped me get through the bar exam when I was studying for that. She encouraged me to join the military before I became an officer in the Navy, and she wants to see people's lives improve.
I've had the privilege of getting phone calls from the vice president.
Congresswoman Sidney Komlager-Dove says Harris has regularly checked in throughout her career.
I'm a biracial woman myself, and I saw myself in her, and I bet that there are millions of girls and boys across this country who say, oh my God, this place wants me too. It's incredibly emotional. I'm getting emotional right now.
Yeah, feeling seen.
Yes, it's very important. Even if you're not always, you know, dissent and debate's always gonna happen, but you have to feel seen and you have to feel listened to, and that's what this moment's about.
Latifah Simon spoke at the convention. She's now a candidate for Congress after working for DA Kamala Harris years ago.
Who is the Kamala Harris that you know personally?
I can't wait for folks to really learn about the Kamala that I know. She's the toughest boss I've ever had and the best leader that I've ever worked for. She demands excellence. She learns every day. She's always meeting the challenge like she did tonight. And she is full of joy. She wants you to succeed. But let me tell you, if you want to work for a Harris presidency, you're going to have to come to work early and leave late. She really believes if you're going to work for the American people, you got to put in everything you got. When I worked with her in the district attorney's office, the story that I tell people all the time, she sent me home my first day because I didn't have a suit. She said, if you're going to work for poor folks and for mothers who've lost their children and for rape victims, you show up with everything that you have.
Kamala is really funny. She, as everybody has learned, she loves to cook. She's an amazing, amazing cook. She's a great friend.
Harris hired her friend, LaFonza Butler, to work on her previous campaigns.
The office upon which you are about to enter.
Then Harris swore Butler into the U.S. Senate, where Harris once served. Butler and Harris, along with former Senator Kara Mosley Braun, the only black women to ever serve in the U.S. Senate.
She has done everything to fulfill the final footprints of a Shirley Chisholm or a Hillary Clinton, and we have the opportunity to get that done.
Alex Padilla is the senior senator from California.
The first time she met my father and respectfully called him Mr. Padilla before giving him a big hug, and how he's always telling me, make sure to say hi to Kamala, because he knows that she's a friend that is fighting for working families like ours.
What does it mean legislatively, though, to potentially be able to call the president and the president not only be from California, but somebody who used to literally sit in your seat?
Oh, look, that's the relationship is huge. It's been a very good relationship with President Biden, don't get me wrong, but knowing that somebody is sitting in the Oval Office who knows and understands California.
Rob Bonta is California's attorney general, another job Harris once held.
What would it mean for the state of California to have a president who literally did your job versus a president who's not a big fan?
It makes all the difference. Literally having California in the White House and someone who knows us, sees us, will work with us, be a great partner. I think you'll see never before seen levels of partnership and collaboration between California and the U.S. government versus the opposite, someone who, for whatever personal reasons he may have, wants to harm Californians, wants to undermine our state, wants to see us fail.
A similar argument from L.A. Mayor Karen Bass.
Think of all of the events that are coming up, you know, whether we're talking about the World Cup, the Super Bowl, and of course the Olympics. If we have a president that hates our state and really despises our city, you can only imagine.
Although California Democrats have won every statewide election since 2006, congressional races are tight.
We have always said that the House majority is going to go through California. I think that's absolutely true.
Redlands' Pete Aguilar chairs the House Democratic Caucus. He says Harris at the top of the ticket helps Democrats down ballot.
How are you feeling this week?
Energized, excited.
Morning, California Democrats.
Hakeem Jeffries would be speaker if the Dems win back the majority.
Congressman, talk about the importance of California for you to become speaker.
Well, California is an incredible state, and there are four or five or six seats that are winnable in California.
Mike Levin of San Clemente is in one of those close races. He was one of the first House Democrats to call on Biden to drop out.
What is the difference for you having Harris at the top of the ticket as compared to Biden at the top of the ticket?
Well, we all appreciate and honor and respect the tremendous service of President Biden. What I can tell you, Alex, is that in the last few weeks, we have had unprecedented activity on the ground.
Up next, some of the top commentators in politics weigh in on the state of the race. We go to break with music. John Legend honoring Prince, the DNC.
Michael Jordan's statue displayed prominently here at the United Center. This week, this area not home for basketball, but for political perspectives, with columnists, journalists from all around the world with strong views on the state of the presidential race. Welcome back to The Issue. It's good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Jon Favreau served as chief speechwriter for President Barack Obama and currently hosts Pod Save America, one of the top political podcasts in the country.
We last interviewed you a few days before the first debate. Isn't it crazy to think how much
the world, like 3 years ago?
The world has changed since then? Everything we've gone through? Have you ever seen anything like this?
Not ever in my life. I mean, I just, these months, like in all of the time I've been in politics and been in campaigns, I've never experienced a month as momentous and earth-shaking as the one we had in politics. I mean, you know, the debate, Trump surviving an assassination attempt, he was a convicted felon in the end of May, and the amazing thing about all that is the race is still pretty even. And Trump's vote share is like still at around 46.
I think what the age issue is a proxy for is people worried that he is not up to taking the decisive action that we need right now.
Mm-hmm. You guys took some heat for being open about questions about whether Joe Biden was the right person.
Yeah.
You kind of like, we were right? Look at the evidence of what we
Here's
see.
The love Joe Biden. He's going to go down as one of the greatest presidents. But if we all believe that our most important priority is beating Donald Trump, then you have to take that seriously, right? And there's just, it's not personal, no matter who it is.
Chris Catalago is Politico's California bureau chief.
A month ago, we had people telling us this might feel like going to a funeral, and now it's a big, raging party.
Phil Wegman is the White House correspondent for Real Clear Politics.
Whiplash is an understatement because the pandemic feels like it was yesterday, and the Atlanta debate feels like it was a lifetime ago.
Peter Hamby is a partner at Puck News.
Talk about the dramatic, dramatic change that we've seen in the last month and where we're at right now.
Well, you can see it behind us. I'll give you a number, though. When Joe Biden was in the race after that terrible debate he had in Atlanta, 33% of Democrats said they were satisfied with their nominee, Joe Biden. Now it's 88%, which is about as high as Republicans for Kamala Harris. That is a crazy turnaround.
What it was that set Trump off?
Brian Tyler Cohen's YouTube videos about politics regularly get millions of views each. Can you talk about what you've been seeing since Harris took over the ticket?
So I've been on YouTube, I've been creating content for 5-6 years now. I have never seen anything come close to the sheer amount of attention that people are paying to this race right now.
Brian's new book, Shameless, is number one on the New York Times bestseller list this week.
If you were writing the paperback version, you get to put in another chapter about what we're witnessing in terms of this moment in history. How would that go?
That's a great question. I think the one thing that even I, as somebody who focuses day in and day out on messaging, on persuasion, that I didn't take into account is that this idea of hope and optimism, this intangible, is so important. And for most of us, I feel like it should be enough to just look at somebody like Donald Trump and say, he's a threat to democracy, and so you got to just turn out to vote against him. But clearly, the polling showed that when it was just Biden running against Donald Trump with only that message, because he wasn't able to prosecute the case beyond that, running against Trump with only that message, it wasn't enough. And we were even losing in polling in states like Minnesota and Virginia and New Mexico. You can't win an election like that.
Tommy Vietor also hosts Pod Save America.
Politics in the Trump era has felt nasty and negative and honestly just like a slog. You know, I mean, like those early days in 2015, maybe his shtick was new and was exciting to some people, but now it is just tired and stale and mean and nasty. And I think what she was getting at is we can get past that. That to me was the hope. We can get past the Trump era. We can beat this guy and put this brand of politics to bed, at least temporarily.
The Democratic Party united behind Harris within hours of Biden dropping out.
What we're seeing is the Democratic machine activating, not necessarily in a sinister way. I mean, all political parties do this, but you have the donors who are off the sidelines. You have the grassroots who are energized. And the main thing here is not the personal pluses or minuses of Harris herself. Instead, it's that she's not Trump and she's not Biden.
Still, this race is tight.
What you're seeing in focus groups and polling about Harris is people are interested in her, but they want to know, will she fight for me? What is her plan to help people like me? There is some white space and an opportunity to fill in information about her, her biography, her values, and what she's going to do. That is just very different than where we were with Biden and Trump.
Brian Goldsmith is a former journalist and current Democratic strategist.
To use the Steve Kerr terminology, it's a jump ball. And I think some Democrats are overly exuberant, as David Axelrod said, about our prospects. I think people who are serious about this, who look at the numbers, recognize this is going to be a dogfight all the way to the end. And there are more things we need to do between now and the election in order to win.
What do you make of the way that Donald Trump so far has sort of struggled in terms of finding an attack line, finding a nickname, finding a path forward?
Oh, I think he's bitter, angry, and flummoxed about all of this. I think, you know, because his party has become a cult of personality, I think he sort of thinks the Democrats wouldn't let go of their nominee either. But, you know, Biden, more than anything else, was kind of a vehicle to defeat Donald Trump. And once he ceased being that vehicle, Democrats were happy or willing to move to a different nominee.
And without a Democratic nominee in his 80s, the Democratic message is now very different. What is the proper framing for this race, real concisely?
It's time to turn the page. This is about future versus past.
It's very disgusting what's happening.
Up next, impressionist Matt Friend. But first, those attending the convention sound off.
What do you think of Kamala Harris?
Bomb diggity.
Why Kamala for you?
Because she represents what we can be as a country.
She's going to give women back their right to make decisions over their bodies.
It was very hopeful, energizing. It was a very great experience.
We need joy. We need kindness. We need unity in our country.
Why is it so quiet? What's happening? It's quieter than Sleepy Joe. Hello, Joe. How are you? Great to see you.
Look who we're here with. Matt Friend back on The Issue Is. I knew you when, Matt. You are blowing up in a way like nobody on the planet.
Well, I'm here with Alex Michelson, California's finest political reporter, but also one of America's finest political reporters. And no, you're the best. Alex found me early in the pandemic, had me on his show, believed in me, and you are such a pro. I'm not kidding. Like, it is insane. I do all these local TV shows. It's a different level.
The one and only Bill Maher.
You've got a new podcast with Bill Maher.
Yeah. Oh, it's great, right? Oh, it's so fun doing Bill, right? Yeah. And finally, new rule, make sure it's a good voice.
It's on my socials, at The Matt Friend, and YouTube, at The Matt Friend. Friend in High Places.
Friend in High Places, which is the combination, of course, you and Bill Maher, who is almost always in high places.
Well, I understood that after I realized that he is a sense of loving marijuana. But the theme was just talking to people who are in those successful places. But I guess it could have a double meaning.
So on the night that we're talking to you,
yes,
Barack Obama is also talking to us. But we're going to get a preview of the Obama speech from you.
Well, let me just say, Alex, it is great to be with you. And on behalf of Sasha, Malia, Michelle, and Bo, it is a privilege and a thrill to be back at home in Chicago. because this is a city that represents America. It's for Democrats, members of red states, of blue states. Alex, these are United States.
United States. And it's amazing that President Trump has also made a surprise appearance here to respond in real time to the Democratic convention. Mr. President.
Just shut your mouth and stop talking. It's a really horrible thing. There's people with just a lot of confused people. There's a lot. They're wearing dresses. It's very disgusting what's happening. But I will tell you that the radical leftist Democrats are not going to stop us. It's horrible what they're doing. They've treated me terribly. You have failing Kamala in this walls. He's like a Gatorade coach. It's so horrible.
Dump some water on him.
They're going to dump water. They're going to dump water on him. Well, you have to win to get the water dumped. They're going to lose like dogs.
And do you want to throw to break for us?
Yeah. Well, Los Angeles, it's time to go to commercial because We're watching this DNC, and Rick Caruso is going to go to bed. See you at commercial. Good night, L.A.
As things wrap up here at the Democratic National Convention, we ask almost all of our guests the same question. One word to describe Kamala Harris, one word for Donald Trump. What's your one word for Kamala Harris?
Tough.
And one word for Donald Trump?
Criminal.
One word for Kamala Harris?
Fierce.
And Donald Trump?
Scary.
Kamala Harris, what's one word?
Friend. Friend to me, friend of the people.
Donald Trump, one word?
Danger. Can't take that risk.
What's one word to describe Kamala Harris?
Personable.
One word to describe Donald Trump?
Dysfunctional.
What's one word for Kamala Harris?
Fresh.
One word for Donald Trump?
Terrible. Try not to swear on your air here.
One word to describe Kamala Harris? Right now, electrifying. And Donald Trump? Scary. What's one word for Kamala Harris and one word for Donald Trump? So, what's one word for Kamala Harris?
Prosecutor.
One word for Donald Trump?
Felon.
One word for Kamala Harris?
Hope.
And one word for Donald Trump?
Stale.
Thank you so much for watching this special edition of The Issue Is. A big thanks to photographer Tony Butita for his week of 21-hour days and editor Debbie Kim for her hard work. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week from back home.
Thank you again for watching this episode. What a week. And a big shout out to Nick Greitzer, our producer, who has been working on our show for 5 years and is leaving us this week. We're very sad about that, but we're very grateful for all that he's done for us. Let us know what you think about the show in social media. Like, subscribe, tell people about it. And we'll be back next week for another edition of Issue Is back home in Los Angeles. Thanks for listening.